Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Farmer Bryce podcast. I love hosting these podcasts and hope that you enjoy listening to them as much as I enjoy hosting them. I'm really getting to have awesome chats with some super interesting people. Today's guest has a drive and determination to create change that is pretty unbelievable. She has worked her backside off for her whole life to create and maintain successful businesses whilst also ensuring her local community and environment benefit too. With a fantastic story that kicks off in a humble family building business in Kilmarnock to persuading some of Europe's largest PLCs to invest in our local communities, a big welcome to Dr. Marie Macklin. Marie, hi. Thanks very much for coming in. I really appreciate you taking time to come out and see us here at the farm. We've actually just went a quick walk around the farm. You've met the Miss Gilf girls. And again, you know, great to have you. And I find everything you're doing really quite interesting, and I'd love to really share that with our listeners. So basically, I had asked you here today, as for nearly 10 years now, you've been hammering away at a project called Halo. This is a project that started just a few miles from our family farm here in East Ayrshire, and with a massive £65 million investment into an old Johnny Walker whiskey site after it closed, you're really driving change in Kilmarnock. So I wanted to just dive straight into the questions. Everyone's waiting to hear what's happening. So we'll get into the mechanics of the Halo project later. But could you possibly tell us a bit more about who you are as Marie and the history before Halo?
You surely can, Bryce, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for asking me, because I think these podcasts that you're setting up are fantastic, and so it's needed in the local economy. Yes, I am Marie Macklin. I was born in the home in Holmes Road in Kilmarnock many moons ago, and I was brought up in Onthank, and I have lived in the countryside in Symington and moved back to Kilmarnock, and then lived in the city of Glasgow and then back to Kilmarnock. So, you know, I'm glad to be back in God's country today. Yesterday I was in the Halo site up in Hill Street, that 28-acre site that's going to create a new tomorrow world for our young people along a line called Live, Work, Learn and Play. So my childhood, I remember the times in the 70s when we had mass industrial revolution in Ayrshire in general. And the factory girls that used to, you know, come out in Kilmarnock Fair Friday, that used to work along the herd park, Saxon shoe shops, etc, etc. And we then faced industrial decline in the 70s, and a lot of your families were affected by that. So I grew up in Kilmarnock, as I said, and my journey was a difficult journey. And if there are any young people listening, you know, I was quite slow at school. I was kept back a couple of years at school. I found education really difficult, and it wasn't until later on in life I realised that I had a learning difficulty in dyslexia. So my release was music and lyrics rather than reading.
Ah, right.
So it was. But I worked hard. I went to Kilmarnock Academy, went to Onthank, Symington Primary, Kirkstyle, and then to Kilmarnock Academy, and then up to Glasgow to be educated at Glasgow College of Technology. Cool. And I purposely went there because I believed in enterprise and entrepreneurship. And that's in all different walks of life. For example, your farming business here, and I've read up in your story. And for me, entrepreneurs and enterprise isn't necessarily about being based in a city or a town. It's about the rural economy and how you and your family are at the forefront of changing how we look at, you know, in the sustainable farming. Yeah. So being a kid, growing up in Kilmarnock, we had a great community then, and we have a great community now, but we found that the buoyant industrial revolution came to an end in the 70s, mm-hmm. and we were left with loads of unemployment, and that's what took me to Glasgow, the city of lights, the city of entrepreneurship, and I wanted to basically try and in that time get into banking and finance. From there, I went to London and was headhunted to go and work in the Royal Bank of Scotland, invoice financing, debt factoring, and then into the City of London, into City Trading. And I used to come home every weekend and work in the family business, which my dad set up in 1988. He was a bricky to trade, worked his way up in construction, and went into managing directorships in national companies. But he was fed up making money for other people, and he elected to, at the age of 52, set up the Klein Group. To my mum's, my mother was horrified, because they had a nice house by that time and stuff. And he set up the business then.
Big step at that age, too.
It was a huge step, and I helped him set that up. So I would come home at the weekends, and I'd work from 6 in the morning to like 7 at night, 8 at night in the City of London, fly home on a Friday night, the 6 o'clock flight, and then go off the flight and go and work in the Klein Group for Dad.
Brilliant. And you know, being a family business here at McGill, I know that sometimes we can not see eye to eye. Is that the kind of relationship you had with your father
as
well?
Yes, most definitely, because I was obviously known the business full time. My brother was there as construction director. He's a quite surveyor, and my sister worked there at that time amongst other family members. And no, it's when I worked in the banking industry, most failures were family businesses because of personality clashes, etc. And, you know, there was loads of personality clashes in our business. I think my sister has been paid off 3 times. Fired, you're fired. My father, the Donald Trump of Kelly. but we never really fell out as such, you know. It helped the business, you know. We all have a different opinion, so it doesn't take, it's no good if we've all got the same opinions and you have a dictatorship.
Of course.
It's better the other way.
Absolutely. I know, but variety certainly helps in a family business, mm-hmm. isn't it? Okay, so moving on, obviously I touched on the introduction there, and the main reason you're here today is to talk about Halo. Mm-hmm. So for those of us out there that haven't really heard about Halo, could you possibly just tell us what it is and why it's not just important to the people of Kilmarnock, but also to pretty much every town and city in the world at the minute?
Yeah, surely. The Halo brand is a brand I've set up about 5 years ago, but the journey goes further back. I came back from the City of London and I bought the family business in 2004. Father was retiring and he took ill health, and we had been offered to be bought over, but I wanted to come back, and I've been on building sites since I was 3 years old, so I wanted to get involved in the family business. So I bought the company, and I believe in urban regeneration and brownfield sites. We don't do green belt, we only do brownfield, and that's either old buildings or huge industrial sites. And we brought the first Morrisons to Scotland in 2004. We introduced the brand to Kilmarnock to a 20-acre site, and we saved the then factory that was Hunslet Bartley Railway Locomotives, because we bought their land, moved them across the road, retained 70 jobs, and it grew to 150.
Oh, brilliant.
And we built apartments in a listed building by Andrew Bartley's Railway Locomotives. So we've got many developments that we've done in Ayrshire and Kilmarnock and Glasgow and throughout. But in 2009, Kilmarnock faced, I would say, the final nail in the coffin, and that was the demise of Johnny Walker Whiskey Bottling Plant, when Johnny Walker, for their own reason, Diageo, elected to close the plant, and with a loss of over 700 job losses. Yeah. And the effect of that in the community was devastating, to the extent it wasn't just about the jobs, but it was about the wee shops, the wee independent shops in the town centre and the villages and wherever these people were living, spending their buck, that was going to affect that economy. And having grown up in Kilmarnock and seen over the years, you know, when I was a kid, you went up the town with your gran and your mum to the independent shops, the wee shops.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got Sinfriani's, you've got Verani's, you know, you've all these different shops in town. So it was going to affect shops like that. So there was a committee set up called Make It Kilmarnock to try and save the jobs with government in that field. And my philosophy was, I was one or two that was asked in that board. So my philosophy was, what do? We stand back and do nothing? So that role I had in that board was an unpaid role. So at the beginning, I had made it quite plain that if this did fail, I wanted the opportunity to go back in and try and negotiate a deal for the community, because we know how to work with communities. So we did, and in 2012 or thereabouts, we started negotiating with Diageo to get control of the land. And nobody else would really touch it, because developers see it as a loss-leading site, where the rental value of the product is less than what the build cost would be. It's where we call market failure. And that's why these towns don't have the lovely big glossy buildings that cities have. So to come up with a community proposal, Diageo has said, I had said I want the site for a pound because of the problems with infrastructure and contamination, and it's got market failure. And we will come up with a community-driven project that will create jobs and a quality of life, sustainability life. And that took a long time because the government way back had promised that they would put money into the project to help with pump fund it with infrastructure, to help build the case to make it a viable proposition. And because of red tape, that got caught up in all that. And it's a project that, you know, we've had heavily community involvement, consultations, because at the end of the day, it's a community that have to use it, not just Kilmarnock and Ayrshire, but it's a global brand that we've created here. Like Johnny Walker's was global, well, Halo will be global. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really interesting project, and I can go into that in more detail for you.
Absolutely. I mean, from the research I've done, just to invite you to the podcast, I mean, I find Halo, every time you look at something at Halo and you read into something, there's always another rabbit hole to go down to find another massively interesting thing about it. And that kind of leads me on to the next thing. You know, it's, I mean, obviously, you weren't sitting about doing nothing before this all came about, and, you know, you see the headlines of, you know, yourself and your team managed to get the site for a pound, and you mentioned the issues with infrastructure and the loss leader aspect of it. But, you know, how did it feel at that time? You know, you're obviously, you had other businesses to run, you were a very busy person. How did it feel to have that amount of weight on your shoulders to try and tie government, community and private business together and then try and, you know, be the person that keeps these communities going?
It's difficult. It's no easy. There's times that, you know, it just takes over your life because I have an investment business. I invest in new starts and scale-up businesses. So I had that going on. I had the Clyn Group going on with the roller developments. But I was so passionate about this. And basically, I put loads of... Well, it became a full-time job for me. It is a full-time job just now. This I've got other folk doing other stuff from other businesses. But it became full-time, and there was so many people would do FOC stuff from architects and engineers because it was a huge risk. And in normal development, you go and you get your land, you buy your land, you go to a bank, they'll fund some of it, and then you come up with a development proposal. Banks don't fund these projects. Yes. They just don't want you to touch it. It's too risky. And I'm a firm believer, if I could get this brand right, it was a brand that we could fund privately and with key partners and councils and government. So what I managed to do was come up with a £65 million project, and it is a lot of weight on your shoulders because I've put a lot of my own personal time and money into this project, you know, that I'll never get back for 20 years, yes, you know. It's written off in theory. And a lot of other people have put their time and effort in free of charge because they firmly believed in the community. They had had enough. So it's a huge pressure, but you just go on with it and have supportive people round about you and a great team.
Yeah, absolutely. And the general project for Halo, the whole sort of concept of it, how is the physical site going to develop? What's going to be there? A lot of people thought.
Well, it's changed over the years because you come up with a master plan of where you get a consultation and you ask the people. We did our first consultation to 200 people in Centre Stage, where I'm business patron. I'd rather go into a private hotel and have it there. We had it in a social enterprise place and pay them for that night and for the tea and the sandwiches, because I'm a firm believer of putting it into localisation. And the project now is called Live, Work, Learn and Play. It's wrapped around a health, energy and enterprise strategy. So there's a just under 50,000 square foot enterprise innovation hub, really high tech, that will have some key partners in there. One is Scottish Power. I always knew if I could get a major PLC to come to Kilmarnock, the rest would fall into play. And they gave us a 5-year deal, and it's now a green site. It's a sustainable site in the sense that the energy provision, the car provisions, will all be green energy. And the data from that is going to be analysed by Scottish Power at Halo to look at how best they can assist the economy and fuel poverty and the future of their company in green energy and sustainability. We then brought in Barclays PLC, again looking at how can we help our young people from a deprived community. I'm from technically a deprived community in Onsank, that postcode. How can we assist these young people and young people that's disengaged with retraining, that can't get into a college or don't want to get into a college, but they're great in computers, so how can we get them a HALO accredited course on computers and cyber capability and digital skills that's trending with it? So that will be based at HALO. And we've got another floor that's for entrepreneurial businesses, startups and scale-ups, just like Johnny Walker was invented in Kilmarnock. We want to look at various sectors in the health sector and energy sector and companies that are aspiring to provide services and products to these industries. Let's grow them from the international stage back here in Kilmarnock, East Ayrshire in Scotland. Yep. We've got innovative housing, smart homes, energy efficient homes, 210. We've got light manufacturing, industrial, a huge wave surf technical academy, training pool, digital retailing. But everything we do in this 20-acre site has to tie back into the local community services and provisions. So when I talk about that, I mean, we're town centre adjacent next to the railway station. So how do we connect our site into that town centre to benefit the little shops in the town and get more people to come into town and use the services, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an absolutely fascinating project. Just every time I hear you talking about it, online or whatever, I'm reading about it, it's just, you just learn something new, you know. You've got a massive environmental push on it while also tying in the social and economic sides of it as well. It really is a really incredible thing. It's only just 10 miles to the farm. It's amazing. It's just happening pretty much on my doorstep as well. But of course, even though you're also doing that and you're very busy life, I was really quite fascinated by this as well. During the COVID-19 lockdown, everybody knows, we saw the television, the supermarkets had effectively run out of essential food. People were panic buying. The most vulnerable people in our communities just couldn't gain access to a nutritious meal at all. You personally took matters into your own hands and amazingly handed over £100,000 to local businesses to help out people in East Ayrshire and with the likes of food banks and people that couldn't even get access to food banks because there was no food left to give to them. Now, we were part of that, but we're very grateful to be part of that because our business had also suffered dramatically. We predominantly supplied coffee shops. That trade disappeared overnight and we were very thankful to have your support with that as well. But could you just tell our listeners what really drove you to do such an amazing thing and everyone else was involved and who else was involved with it?
I think it goes back to your upbringing, and for me, anything I do, I mean, I'm a business person. I'm in business for three things. I'm in business to make money in whatever I do and whatever venture. I'm in business to give people opportunity, but I'm in business to put something back in. So I will say I am a capitalist, but we are huge social conscious. And having been brought up in Kilmarnock and Ayrshire, with that community value, my philosophy was really quite simple. If you have it, would you give it? And yeah, I had it to give. But it wasn't just about throwing money at an issue. It was the fact that day, my partner and I, James, it was coming to the end of the month and we were up at the Kay Park a walk because I couldn't believe this was happening about COVID. And we recorded a wee video there, and that was when I had decided the night before, right, we need to do something to help the folk in the community. Because even though I might not always be here every day in this community, I have so many contacts here and, you know, etc. I know every week what's happening down here. So I phoned the Chief Executive East Ayrshire Council and I said, look, what's the need, what's the requirement? East Ayrshire Council were playing a binder in their own capacity, but there was still a need. So the need came back that it was food and it was for vulnerable people. So I phoned my big pal, Craig Stevenson at Brayhead Foods, and I thought, right, we'll do this two ways. We'll put money back into the private sector business and we'll put money back into a community fund, as in a social enterprise. So I went to Craig Stevenson because Craig knows everybody and he's got great produce and he's got great suppliers like yourselves. And I went to a charity that involved in Centre Stage and said, look, how do we basically come up with a scenario that I buy the food, you know, I'll give the money in, get the food for Craig, come up with nourishing meals and use deliver them. and package them up. So from there, basically, Craig, one phone call, yep, this is what we'll do, this is what the cost is, boom, boom. And your milk was included in that package. So it was like a soup, a main meal, and the milk and rolls, so a local roll supplier. That all got taken to centre stage. They would pack it up and that would get delivered every day.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, we could have just said, look, there's some money and put it into whatever. But we knew then that it was getting to the people who needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, but it was an amazing thing. I mean, I know that anyone that, you know, when we were delivering the milk off the centre stage, everybody was kind of in a buzz and talking about it, and it was keeping their mind off COVID as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, everybody just felt as if they were part of doing something something better than just, you know, having to hide away and worry about COVID at the time. It was a great thing.
Yeah.
Just staying on food, you've actually got a grander vision than just the halo and you know, keeping with your values of having a building there to help the community. There's a whole aspect of holistic thinking there and urban regeneration. Now here at Misgill, we are in the minority as a small farm producing food for local people, and I know that that's something that's quite close to your heart and something you feel very strongly about. There's been a demise of small farms and farmers selling directly to local markets in the past 100 years, and that's because of industries really choosing economies of scale over local produce, as you were mentioning about what happened in the 70s. Environmental damage from food production is also as high as it's ever been, and there's now an increase of customers demanding to know exactly the who, why, where and what of their food being produced. Now couple that with facts where we have areas of high unemployment, particularly in East Ayrshire and other areas of Scotland, and it's really given you an idea about urban regeneration and tying that in with food. Could you tell us just a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I started this proposal, I mean, it's evolved. But I remember 9 years ago going to a big meeting with Diageo and all my slides and what I was going to do and basically get kind of laughed at. And one of the proposals in there was about urban regeneration park in the middle of a town centre. And that was around urban farming. And how can you create urban farming and work with rural farming to create that sustainable economy and create local produce and an education element and take that back into schools? Because for me, it all starts in schools, the education of, you know, our economy and business and farming and food. So at Halo Kilmarnock, you know, we've liaised with various local food providers, education providers, there's a college work with them, and you know, we work with Kilmarnock Skateboarding Club. So what we're going to create in Kilmarnock is an urban park, and it's going to be an urban park with art, and it's going to be an urban park and with a house and a provision for sustainable growing of homegrown produce, you know. And I remember I did a lot of work in Manchester, and there used to be a developer there called Urban Splash. And they were famous for having statues of cows painted all different colours in their developments and green artificial grass in the middle of Manchester in their developments.
Right. Wow.
So my vision is to have two real cows in the middle of that park at an appropriate time.
If you want.
I was just thinking that. In the middle of the urban park. But no, but seriously, there's a serious message there. And, you know, I think COVID has proven that now, that the world has changed. The days of people going up and down that M77 or on the train to Glasgow 5 days a week to work, I think is long gone. I think people have come back to realising there's homegrown values there. We could still work in a city 2 days a week, but we could work more at home. We can work at the Halo, rent some desk space on a day-to-day basis, and have a quality of life in your local environment with local homegrown produce. And the thing for me is, you look at our town centres, we all have the same problem. It's no unique to Kilmarnock or Ayr.
Yeah.
It's years of big box, big companies coming in. I'll not name the entrepreneurs, but international, you know, entrepreneurs that live in Monaco, making a quick buck to the detriment of the communities that live in it.
Absolutely.
And for me, I am quite outspoken about that in a constructive way, but that day's gone, and it's a new generation of entrepreneurs that we're now seeing, and people who have worked hard in the cities, whether it's lawyers or, you know, teachers working in universities, whatever, they're all realigning their life and saying, no, we want to be more home-based and use our local economy. So for me, that's something that I've always done. That's we've always been about towns. So it's great for us and our brand. We're rolling out this brand in Belfast, Ballymena. We are getting asked constantly now, because we join it all up with education and the small businesses, we're getting asked constantly, can you come and do a halo there? So we call it the halo effect. So out of the dark days of 2009, when we open in April 2021 next year, this project isn't about Marie Matlin or just halo. This is a project that the community can be proud of, because I marched with 20,000 people that day in July 2009 at the front. I bought the costumes for the Johnny Walker's girls because the council asked, how could we help? And somebody had asked me long gone, would I do it again? And I damn would. Because if I truly believe if we hadn't done it, and I don't mean this big-headed, I think it would still be sitting there as a derelict site. And that's no good for anybody.
Absolutely. No, the power of people can certainly speak a big voice. Exactly. It's amazing. Just on to the last thing now. This morning I put a post up on Facebook to say I'm coming to the farm to meet myself and the Muskeel girls and do this podcast. And I put a bit of a brief about what we're going to talk about. And a really interesting woman got in touch called Dot. And Dot says, this is incredible. First time reading about it. I've just been on the Halo website. Why are our world leaders not taking this approach? And that brings me on to my next question. Why are you not in politics when you've got such a driven way of looking at communities in our wider communities within the nation as well?
I think I love politics. You know, I was brought up in politics. My dad was quite a political man, and I mean, I'm not going to hide the fact he was a very much Labour supporter. You know, he was. I couldn't be a politician because I am too outspoken in a constructive way. And I could not take the whip, so to speak, of a political party. Yeah. That's mainly the reason. And I honestly think I can make more change being on the outside with people power beside me and delivering these projects, that I can now assist people, the silent majority, to actually make change. And I've always believed it's no politicians that make change, it's people. And if our brand is the brand of the people, then that will be success for me.
Yeah.
This project isn't about making money. Believe you me, I can go and make my money doing a hell of a lot less, you know, investment. This is it's a personal thing for me, having grown up in Kilmarnock and Ayrshire and Scotland and being at the forefront of the industrial revolutions and how we failed our young people. My generation was failed. And I don't want to, I could never have kids. So I look at every kid I meet as my kid. Because if I can help make change for those young kids, then I will.
Yeah, brilliant. I love it. And so you touched on there that Halo is looking to open next spring in 2021. And so what is happening? What's the Halo launch going to be? What's going to be happening after that?
That's interesting. Well, in a Halo building, you'll see in the web, we've got this unique building. It's got a huge circular Halo light. It's been designed by my architects, Kepi, who used to be Charles Rennie McIntosh's practice. And the story there is their design director, David Ross, lives in Kilmarnock, but originally from Glasgow, moved to Onsank as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And David is so passionate about this project. And I said, I need a light. I need something like a beacon at the top of this. So this is a unique patent that we're going for. So that will basically be lighting up the whole of the UK.
Brilliant.
And then we're planning a really amazing opening. I love music, rock music, so there'll be a lot of music there. And we're in the process, we've had so many folk want to come and open this, and we're going to be high profile at COP26, the UN conference in November next year on sustainability. And who knows, it may well be somebody high up from the UN. But whatever I do, I want children involved in it. I've been recently involved in the Herald and the SEPA campaign on sustainability. Did a webinar last week to about 500 people internationally. Great success to put Scotland out there, but in particular put Ayrshire out there.
Yep.
So any platform I can get to put Ayrshire out there and the work that others are doing, then, you know, that's what we're all about. So, yeah, next year's a big year for us. We have the Halo building opening itself, and straight in the back of that will be the innovative housing healthcare homes for home care monitoring and research and development. So yeah, it's really exciting times.
Brilliant. Well, I can't wait to see it. Listen, thank you so much for coming to the podcast today. Now, after that, I'm sure there's going to be an awful lot of people wanting to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, and look into Halo a lot further. So can you tell everybody what your Facebook
is? Sure can. You can contact me at Mary Macklin, and the Halo webpage is www.halo-projects.com.
Brilliant.
Thanks for having me, Bryce.
No, thank you, and I hope you enjoyed your visit to meet the Musical Girls.
I did. They're amazing.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have liked to be in the negotiating team for Johnny Walker the day Marie took charge of that meeting. It's absolutely incredible what Marie has done and been involved in to have so many hurdles to jump through to get Halo going. As well as everything else she's involved in, it's a truly inspiring story. Thanks so much to Marie for coming in today and to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, please click subscribe on your preferred podcast provider and you will receive instant notifications as soon as each podcast is published. Be sure to tune in next time when we get to meet more people involved in our sustainable food system today.